Watch your hands. We're in like 30.
Hello, this is Bob Fitrakis bringing you the other side of the news, and we're actually live. Live, and no wonder I was looking at the wrong camera.
Live.
I'm in the studio with Dan Dugan, who's also live.
In the immortal words of Bill O'Reilly, F it, we'll do it live. And then he did. And where is he these days, Bob?
I don't know. He's being loofed, which he's mistaken for a falafel, if you remember that story.
A live loofah. So, nonetheless, we are on the other side of the news on WGRN, the Green Renaissance.
Yes, and if you don't know our show, take a look at this.
Death and hatred to mankind, poisoning their brainwashed minds. Oh, Lord, yeah.
Watching myself live in the studio with Dan Dugan on WGRN.
I guess we're both watching each other watch each other.
Yeah.
Live. Wow. I think Dr. Seuss did something on that. The watch watchers that were watching the watchers.
And well, we should be.
Someone's got to be watching.
Including the Chinese, Mr.
Dugan. We know they're listening. Huawei is what? A backdoor to all the transmitted messages in the world?
Yeah, we think the Chinese are doing what we've been doing for decades, and the Russians have been doing, and the British, and of course the old British colonies like Canada, New Zealand, and Australia. So the superpowers tend to, well, they gather data. They do, well, the other side, China spies, we do surveillance.
Oh, right. I get that. That's the difference, sort of like terrorists versus freedom fighters.
That's right. It all depends on what side you're on. But
exactly.
You know, the United States has about an $80 billion federal surveillance budget, perhaps the largest on Earth, the fourth largest budget item on Earth after the U.S., Chinese, and Russian military. But the Saudi Arabians are buying a lot of weapons as well. But
yes,
we have a large military industrial complex, but also a large intelligence complex.
There you go. So we're gathering information just so in case we might have to use our weapons to go to war, right?
Well, 80% of the money is estimated to go to spying on American citizens who have committed no known crimes.
Yeah.
So here's the great irony, right? You're spying on 330 million people, including me and you and the producer. But, you know, the day seven suspected terrorists got on an airplane at the same time, they were so busy spending the money spying on 330 million Americans, it was easy for seven suspected terrorists to hijack airplanes.
Yeah, sure. Even though there had been a message floated around saying that Osama bin Laden was determined to strike somewhere in the United States.
We're back.
We're back from being back again.
A glitch when we were doing it. I'm going to blame
imagine
that
on the radio
on
they can the, still hear it.
On the Chinese.
Whether or not our videos.
Well, I'm thinking the mics go off when we have a glitch. Is that true, Mr. Producer?
Sometimes.
Yes.
Yeah, all right.
Trained a priest.
But they're hearing whatever's on the screen.
That's his name. All right. Well, we were going to talk quite a bit about the electronic surveillance. But there are other topics that are pressing right now, and one may be the war, of which I had just alluded to, that perhaps as a result of information we've received, or our government has received, or say they have received, we may be going to war with Iran. Bob, do you believe this?
Well, here's what I know, and then I'll tell you what I believe. First of all, what I know is that the Vietnam War was a complete fabrication. You know, it was admitted by Robert McNamara, Secretary of Defense. They called it McNamara's War. That the Gulf of Tonkin is officially now bad sonar reading.
Ah.
But I believe it was a government CIA fabrication, a false flag operation that got us into a war where 60,000 Americans died, 600,000 North Vietnamese soldiers and guerrillas died, and, you know, 2.4 million civilians died who were Vietnamese. Many of them are allies in the so-called South and in the North. And there shouldn't even have been a North and South Vietnam. That was just crazy. Cold War, Russia and the United States deciding to divide up the world.
Right, right.
So I know they fabricated wars in the past.
Right.
The Vietnam War.
And we can call it Cold War. The Vietnamese or the Koreans, et cetera. It wasn't exactly Cold War for them. I mean,
yeah, no, it was
cold
it was
on the battlefield in Korea, but yes.
What we sometimes call war by proxy.
There you go.
It's like the superpowers are too big, too powerful, and have nukes. So let's have some smaller countries test out
limited
who's powerful and who's got the best weapons.
Right. So.
So, and I don't think there's enough proof. I don't see any benefit that, you know, there's this supposed film. But remember they told us that one of the smallest navies on Earth, the North Vietnamese Navy, attacked American cruisers and destroyers in international water with PT boats. I mean, think of the on the surface of it. I mean, why, you know, it was 98-2 vote in the U.S. Senate. Only two senators, Wayne Morris of Oregon and, of course, Greening of Alaska were the only two that voted against the Gulf of Tonkin, which gave President Johnson unlimited power to wage endless war in Vietnam. I don't think there's enough proof. I think there needs to be an investigation.
Wow.
And I'm thinking, you know, remember, the damn Cubans blew up the Maine. Now, there's not a historian
just gonna bring that
on
up. Thank
Earth.
You read my mind. So yeah, Vietnam wasn't the first case of a trumped-up cause for war.
Right, the Maine.
Trumped up.
Right,
yeah.
If you think about it,
remember the Maine.
Who's the last people
Spanish
that would blow up an American ship, right? The Cubans, right? The Cubans don't want to get in a fight with the United States, which is more powerful. And the Lusitania, you know, think about what we know about the Lusitania now.
Yeah, there you go.
Packed to the gills with arms.
Mm-hmm.
So there's been numerous fabrications. And here's the other thing, Mr. Dugan.
Yes, sir.
Remember Karl Rove, when asked, you know, how Bush was possibly going to win the 2004 election, was reported to have said, well, he'll be a war president. Because Rove knows and knew at the time that no U.S. president engaged in a hot war has ever lost re-election. The tendency of the American voters is to keep a president in if there's a
if the war is
war
on.
Is going on.
Yeah. Right.
So, I mean, I believe George W. Bush through Karl Rove, I think they attacked Iraq, who had nothing to do with 9/11, had no weapons of mass destruction. It's like 17 out of 21 of these terrorists came from Saudi Arabia. None came from Iraq. So let's go to war with Iraq. And you've got Americans out there to this day, I run across, well, you know, we were trying to improve the government. By God, memos have just been leaked saying that we wanted ISIS to arise in Syria to cause the Syrian government problems. Our friends in Saudi Arabia helped create that Sunni terrorist apparatus. So I don't believe for a minute until I see concrete proof. And the proof can't come from one of the greatest liars in modern history, Donald Trump, a man who lies religiously, pathologically, when he doesn't even have to lie, but occasionally a truth will come out.
Well, this week,
like when he said with the if Norway came to him and had information.
Right. Well, this week the most one of his bigger flip flops, if that's possible, a bigger flip flop, was him saying one day that the FBI was full of lies and that there's any information he received from whatever entity to help his campaign was perfectly fine. And then this morning he goes on Fox and completely changes his story. So that's – but that's the scary part about it is you can't trust him at all. Anyway, at least you knew where Karl Rove and Cheney and Bush were coming from. This guy can change his mind at a whim, and then where are we left? So,
well, he's got kind of Tourette's, and he blurts out the truth occasionally. Like, if a Norwegian, say, came to me and they had information to help me, and I would listen.
Yes.
It's like, that's illegal. You've got to report that. It's illegal unless you report that you were approached by a foreign government who offered you information. Yeah, could you imagine if me and we were approached by foreign agents offering us info to help interfere in an election? We would know that was illegal.
We're into a whole new world, a whole new ball game, if you will, both with Trump. Because, I mean, take the subpoenas. He tells people, no, you don't have to honor those subpoenas. They're not. And so far, where do we sit? So...
Well, it's Bizarro World, right? It's the old Superman comic book.
Yes, could well be, but it's scarier than that. So, again, do you think that just based on the information that the U.S. military says they received and the Secretary of Defense, that they will go to war on that?
Or we've got
try
dozens,
to go to war?
We've completely surrounded Iran in an aggressive imperialist way.
Yeah.
So go out and do a search, Google or whatever search engine you like, on U.S. military bases surrounding Iran. You'll see that the United States is a massive imperialist aggressor, worthy aggressor. Nothing to do with peace. So would the world's leading aggressor and provoker of war under Donald the Unready, they fabricate an incident to go after Iran because we're mad at Iran because they're fighting with our allies, Saudi Arabia, a theocratic, fundamentalist, fascist, right-wing regime.
Our friends.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They walk around with bone saws, deboning journalists, cutting them up, right? And, as long as they keep the spigot open, Mr. Dugan, as long as they keep the oil flowing and they accept dollars only, petrodollars, by God, they can do whatever they want. But suddenly, if the Saudis were behind blowing up these ships, Donald Trump... would he be on TV saying, well, a few rogue elements of the Saudi military, right? That's what he said when the crown prince ordered the killing of Khashoggi and the dismembering of his body. Well, a few rogue... It's the crown prince's bodyguards doing it.
Yeah, indeed. And it goes on and on. So, and of course, the Iranian... situation goes quite a ways back. The hostage crisis, people who maybe shouldn't have been there after the Ayatollah took over. But we go back that far to...
Well, we should go back even farther to 1953.
Oh, we should, but when, I'm saying this is where modern memory and history goes
to. Well, we're going to have to give them Iranian history. I don't want... you're absolutely right about American memory. I think it goes back to 79 when they seized the embassy. Absolutely correct. But let's go back to 1953 when there was a democratic Iran and Mr. Mossadegh was their leader. And then they made the ultimate sin. They said the oil of Iran belongs to the Iranian people, not to British Petroleum.
And how dare they?
British Petroleum, the Brits being a bit weak, after World War II, this is 1953, comes to the new mega power, the United States, and says, look, they're taking our oil, the very oil the baby Jesus put under the Iranian soil. We want our oil. We're British Petroleum. So what happened? $13 million in a suitcase.
That
was sent in to... the country, Mr. Schwarzkopf, his father.
Of course, this is 1950s, 13 yes. million, right?
Yeah. Okay. So, and they bribe street thugs, criminals, lower level clergy, and they overthrew the democratic government. And even worse than that, they installed a brutal, vicious dictator, the Shah of Iran.
Yes, Shah Pahlavi.
Yeah, who tortured his people. Mm-hmm. And of course, in the U.S., we knew him because he married a Bobby Soxer, a teenage Bobby Soxer.
Wow.
And we also, by the way, gave him a printing press. The yeah. only country we ever officially get. He promised not to use it. Sure, he kept his word there, Mr. Dugan.
What amazes me that Americans don't seem to remember back before the hostage crisis, were the series of interviews that Mike Wallace did on 60 Minutes, supposedly the number one rated show of the 70s, where he talks to the Shah about what his secret police, SAVAK, is it?
The SAVAK.
Were doing.
Trained by the United States.
And it didn't seem to have sunk in that, hey, maybe he's not such a great guy, and so therefore maybe these people, these Muslim fundamentalists, might have a reason. So, hey, we're here on the other side of the news, right, Bob?
WGRN.
The Green Renaissance.
94.1.
Yes, and also on WCRS.
All right, and check out WCRS. Do we have our notes?
What notes?
90-something point something.
92.3. 97.8. No, that's not right.
92.
Come on, Bob.
You
can
right.
do better. We can do better. 98.3. Right.
98.3.
I'm trying to remember that. 92 point. Okay.
Seven.
That's the seven. I knew there was a seven somewhere. Thank you.
And he used to work for the SAVAK. Let me torture the
I'm
talent.
I'm not a professional.
They forgot the call letters, so it's 92.7. So I told you, Mr. Dugan, see, this is what Donald
fault.
Trump would do.
It's all my
As
fault.
I told you, Mr. Dugan, it
That's
was 92.7.
Right. Blame me, Donald.
See, so then I assert something I
well,
never did.
Fire me like Kelly Conway should be. So there you go.
Well, they that came out.
Yes.
The special counsel, the president's special counsel, the office of special counsel, recommend she be fired
Not
for violating
happen.
The Hatch Act.
The Hatch Act, yes.
And the Hatch Act, of course, is while you're working for the government, you're campaigning. You're not allowed to use
right.
government resources for partisan political politics. So she's in there getting a paycheck from the taxpayers. And what she's doing is working on elections, trying to get the Trumpster reelected.
Yes, and she's not going to be fired. She's going to stay there.
Well, I hope she doesn't, because I really like her husband.
Yeah, yeah.
Her husband's, is the guy who came out and
He's
said
on the other
Trump
side.
Was mentally insane and was suffering from megalomania.
Mm-hmm. Yes, but in the meantime, again, Trump just does what he wants to. And so far, it doesn't seem like there's a whole lot that can be done to stop him. So again, how do we stop him from going to war with Iran is what I'd like to know.
Well, again,
Dr. Bob Fetrakis.
People need to mobilize unless people are beginning to take to the streets, unless people do, oh my God, a radio show or a video TV show and get it out there. We need to actually talk about these things. The more we talk about it, the more we remind people of history, the less likely they are
to repeat it.
Yeah, to fabricate events, false flag operations, to go after Iran, which is not—it's not a problem. I mean, they seized our embassy in 1979, but we smashed their democracy in 1953 and put them under a brutal, vicious dictatorship.
I do realize that the one thing, also American people, they do have trouble when you bring up these blowback things. So you want to go back to 53. I mean, this is what happened after 9/11. If you were to try to say, well, you know, we did some things that were wrong. We don't want to hear about that.
Well, yeah, torture. Yeah, okay, it was a small thing.
We don't
want to
hear about that.
We gave people hummus enemas.
Really?
You know, we killed, yeah, no, I mean... I just go and Google hummus enema. It was in a report.
Okay. Yes, I'm going to go do that.
Well,
right now.
Rectal rehydration was the term they used. But yeah. Now brutal, vicious, sadistic, bizarre.
Mm-hmm. And it goes on and on. So, again, what's to stop that? I don't know. We have no answers, obviously.
Our answers is knowledge and power. What we're saying, don't take our word for it. Look it up.
Mm-hmm. So would you also like to discuss Flint, Michigan today?
We should at least mention
your home state and what had happened in the great state of Michigan concerning the water situation.
Well, some of our listeners, I think, know there was lead in the water in Flint when they cut off the Detroit River, the Detroit water and sewage facilities, but particularly the water supply from the Detroit River, which is really a strait that flows down from Lake St. Clair into Lake Erie, very fast moving, very pure water, voted some of the best water of any major city, New York and Detroit. But to save money, remember they passed that law putting emergency managers in charge of distressed government entities. So they put a guy in and said, let's get it from the Flint River.
Right.
You know, it's like, let's get it from a toxic sludge. It's like drinking out of the Cuyahoga, for God's sake, as opposed to Lake Erie. 13 times the Cuyahoga is caught on fire in a 100-year period from about 1868 to 1969. Right? Yeah. You know, you're a big fan of Burning River beer, aren't you?
Sure. I've had some of that. I've also heard a song about it or two, about Burn On. Randy Newman.
Do you know any of the lyrics? Could you let the listeners know you're actually
burn
a musician?
On, burn On Cuyahoga. Isn't that how it goes? I haven't learned that song, yes, but I was just trying to reference it.
It should be part
for
of
the
your
pop
rep-
music
repertoire.
Folks in the audience. But anyway, so what happened today in Flint, Michigan, or was it yesterday, that the charges were dropped against the
officials responsible for switching over and allowing the lead to be in the water?
Yes, and with the understanding that the charges can be picked up again?
Yeah.
Will they be?
I don't know. I mean, it seems to be very political, right? As is
obviously
almost everything,
mm-hmm.
is that, I'm not opposed to them doing a fair investigation, but, I think if they knew, and, it's a question of if and when they knew, or if they should have known, did they act reckless? Being reckless is criminal as well. If you are reckless, and a result of your recklessness,
yes,
like reckless use of firearms,
right,
that can be a reckless homicide,
and that's what one of the charges was. But they've been dropped. But again, and this is where I'm confused. They say that those charges can be picked up again.
Well, yeah,
so how does that work?
Well, a lot of it has to do with the statute of limitation. Each crime comes with how many years you have to bring it before it expires. And, of course, listeners should note, murder has no statute of limitation. And again, a very famous case in Columbus at a college here where a guy admitted to murder in class that he'd done a few decades earlier. Hmm. Happened to be a off-duty police officer in his class. Charges were brought.
Wow. So do you think that these charges will be picked up again concerning these
Usually somebody gets hung out to dry on this. Usually at least, one person. So you can say, we did our job. And again, involuntary manslaughter, right? They didn't intend to kill him, but they did. Misconduct in office is that whatever that would entail. Like, let's go out and get some highly filthy, dirty, lead-infested water and willful neglect of duty. When things were brought to their attention, they said, boy, but we're saving a lot of money by poisoning the kids.
Yeah, I guess. you think they actually said that?
No, well, I don't. But that was the net effect, right?
Right,
the
net that was the net effect.
Was that if someone comes to you, just like...
But I'm trying to figure out how do they... How is it possible that the charges can be picked up again? That's really
well,
my question.
Well, as long as the statute of limitations hasn't expired, the government... I mean, there's a lot of cases out there that have gone on for a long period of time.
Right.
And then, you know, charges are brought.
Well, it's kind of, we could go back to the Mueller report that, you know, it was suggested that charges be brought, but they're not being.
But
so
charges can actually be brought after Donald leaves office.
President yeah, that Trump too. But as in the case of Flint, what is to inspire the prosecution to again charge these people with murder?
Well, hopefully Flint dominates that county, I believe. It's Genesee. But, you know, a prosecutor could run, or the current prosecutor could say, I'm going to make sure we're going to bring these charges. Because I think that was the state that dismissed the charges. So the beauty of our system, you have both state, local, and national levels, right? There's a lot of charges that could be brought up against Trump that he couldn't pardon himself for because they're state charges.
Right. And that could be done in the present time as far as Trump goes?
Oh, well, the rule of thumb, whatever the agreement, it's not in the Constitution, is you don't criminally indict a sitting president.
At all, even if the charges come from the state, because some people disagree about that.
Well, I think it depends on how grievous the charge is. I think in Trump's mind, right, he has the ability to, you know, walk down the street in New York and shoot somebody.
And he now believes he can receive any information he wants to from anybody he wants to receive information from.
Yeah, any foreign nation, national.
Or entity.
Entity,
right.
Agency,
right.
Secret. Police.
So in other words, it would only be politics that might bring the Flint charges back again, and it might only be politics that will bring any charges against Trump.
I think just like restraining Trump with war, I think the system is designed to respond to pressure. And when locally with the police, the culture of the police aren't going to change until there's just tremendous pressure brought from the citizens. Another thing, I heard they were a little concerned. Somebody shot up a Dakota bus stop, and you know, another guy was at a CVS and essentially had a shootout with the police. So as things get worse, and then sometimes it just explodes. So you've got to be able to release some of that pressure, or you'll have an explosion.
Yeah, I heard that. Well, there's lots of fun things to do in Columbus, Ohio, this weekend and in the coming weekends of June that could relieve the pressure. There's Pride Weekend. There's a wonderful parade where they throw lots of plastic toys from. It's really exciting. Then there's a community festival where a bunch of old hippies have fun.
Well, I think there was a woman in Mexico, they said, came up with a biodegradable plastic-like substance made from cactus. And
there
we had hemp, you know, which we should have never moved away from hemp.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. Could have made all those one-use plastic-like items with a biodegradable substance.
Yes, indeed. There's an awful lot of plastic around. There's an awful lot of plastic people. One of them is
Frank
not
Zappa.
One of them is not Dr. Robert Fitrakis. Thank you very much.
Somewhere in the world, there's
on
a
the
vast
hand,
assortment of plastic people.
Uh-huh.
All right. Make sure you give us some money on Patreon if you like the show.
Yes,
also,
indeed.
Train the priest, our man Kimmy.
Rob Ebright.
Rob Ebright, who helped bring this version
Suzanne Patzer
of the show, and Suzanne Patzer.
Mm-hmm.
Bye.
And all y'all.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
To mankind, poisoning wash my hands. Oh, Lord, yeah.